Let us look to God's help as we bring God's word to you this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sunday morning on this last day of this year 2017. And Lord, as this morning, as Abraham and I bring your word, we do not have confidence in our ability or strength or our wisdom or our words, but we trust wholly on you and you alone. The words which come from our mouth, if they have not been blessed by you, they will return in vain. And therefore again, Lord, this morning we pray that your blessing may be upon Abraham and I as we bring your word. We pray, Lord, that your word may speak to the hearts of each and every one of us this morning. You know the needs of the people. You know what is there in the heart. And we pray, Lord, that you may speak to the needs of each and every person this morning. And especially, Lord, we pray for those who have not yet known your saving grace. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit may powerfully speak to them. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, there is going to be two messages. I'll be followed by Abraham. And I think probably there may be something in common because we are speaking from the book of Colossians and Philippians, which have many common themes. But I'm going to start from the book of Colossians. And can you please turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. All of the book of Colossians is relatively short. It is packed with significant spiritual truths. To give you the context, there were people in the church in Colossae who had encountered false teachers who were teaching the Christians that what they believed about Christ is fine, but if they really wanted to grow in the Christian faith, they needed to move beyond Christ. They needed to add something to Christ that would help them grow more deeply in their Christian faith. Apostle Paul does not respond to that by saying it is an illegitimate concern to want to grow deeper in the knowledge of God. He says that the problem with this false teaching is that it ignores the first principle that Christ is all-sufficient, and that he is to be preeminent in everything we think and do. This is the message of the book, as well as the passage before us this morning. I'm going to preach from verses 6 and 7 only, and if I am asked to give a summary of my message in a few sentences, this is what I have to say. Paul says, let Christ be everything to you. Live in him. acknowledge him as the ground in which you are rooted and the one who builds you up in the church, and constantly give thanks for all that God has done for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, coming to the text before us, Paul was persuaded that a fuller knowledge of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the theological conviction that Jesus Christ is all sufficient will necessarily result in right living. So Paul begins by reminding the Colossians of the foundational teaching passed on to them by Epaphras when they first became Christians. In verse 6 he says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." At the foundational teaching of this confession is Christ Jesus the Lord. Look at this confession carefully. The one they had received, the Colossians has received, is Christ. He is Jesus. He is Lord. Paul reminds them that the one they received is Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He is the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament. He is God's anointed king. He is God's anointed prophet. He is God's anointed priest. This Christ, this anointed king, prophet, and priest, as revealed in the scriptures, is the one whom the Colossians have received. Paul is arguing that they must not, and we must not, turn aside to any other so-called Christ or human philosophy. And Jesus is his human name. When the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream, announcing Mary's conception by the Holy Spirit, the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." We have forgiveness in the name of Jesus. He is the only Savior God has provided. And the Colossians not only received him as Christ and Jesus, they received him also as their Lord. And Lord refers to the deity. In the Old Testament, it is the personal covenant name of God. It focuses on his absolute sovereignty as the creator of the universe, the ruler over all that exists. It means what he commands, we must obey. The Colossians and we have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul is saying they and we must not trade this sovereign Lord for a false substitute, a Christ of man's own imagination. We must continue in him alone, in him alone. As you receive this confession, Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, Paul says. Now, what does Paul mean when he says walk in him? What does he mean by walking in Christ Jesus the Lord? The term walk refers to living. Walk indicates an ongoing process. It implies a daily, steady, step-by-step effort and progress toward a goal. Walking isn't as impressive as running or jogging or galloping or flying. But if you keep walking in a deliberate direction, eventually, you will reach the destination. In that little phrase, "so walk in him," Paul gives two very important principles. He reminds them and us that receiving Christ is not the end, but the beginning of spiritual life. It is just the beginning of the Spirit's work in us. It is not something that you did in the past. It is something that continues to go on in your experience. Coupled with the truth, he gives them and us another little truth in that little phrase. And that second truth is, walk in a manner that is consistent with and conforms to what God has done for us in Christ. If we began the Christian life by confessing Christ as our Lord, our living of the Christian life must be consistent with that profession. It is not just start, we have to continue to live like that. Now you may want Paul to explain that a little bit. Paul, can you explain that to us a little bit more about that Christian walk? And Paul does not disappoint us. Paul goes on to explain what this walk in Christ looks like. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. In verse 7, that is, Paul says, rooted and built up in him and established in the truth, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving, Paul is using four significant phrases to explain the Christian walk. These phrases are rooted, built, established, and abounding. The first three phrases are in the passive voice, emphasizing that God is working these things. The last phrase is in the active voice, pointing to our responsibility to be thankful, our responsibility in response to what God has done to us. By using these different metaphors, Paul is showing from different angles how the Christian walk looks like. The first phrase, rooted, indicates a past action with continuing results. Paul says, when the believers in Colossae genuinely trusted in Christ, God rooted them in him, and they are still rooted in him. This pictures a tree, firmly rooted so that it gets the water and the nutrients from the soil to grow healthy, and the roots are hidden from our view, but they are absolutely essential. Without these deep roots, the tree will fall over when there is a storm, or it will die when there is a drought. And the second phrase Paul uses here is built, which can be translated as being built up. And it builds, and it reminds us of a building and a construction. It again points to continuous action like being rooted. If you watched a building under construction, and especially those living in Weimar here would have seen that this year, sometimes the progress is evident. The frames go up and the roof goes on. At times you will wonder, what did they do this week? I can't see anything happening. They were inside working on things you couldn't see, like the wiring or the plumbing, but they were essential for the finished building to function properly. When you walk in the Lord, sometimes there are obvious changes that others can easily see. More often, the Lord is steadily working on areas that are not obvious to others, but just as necessary as the other things. We learn to trust God in little matters, we put to death the lust of the flesh. We speak kindly to others, though they may not respond to us in a similar manner. We are gradually being built up in him. And the third word Paul uses here is established, or some translations may use confirmed. And again, that stresses continuous action. What does Paul mean by established? In light of the context of false preachers and the next phrase, just as you were taught, I think Paul here means being established in the Christian faith, that is, in sound doctrine. Just as being built up was a continual process, so also is being established. It is not something that takes place once and then can be forgotten after that. The Christian's life should be characterized by a process of growing more and more in the knowledge of faith as time goes by. As you learn more about the irrevocable promises of God, you grow more in your assurance. As you grow more in the knowledge of sound doctrine, you are more protected against the many winds of false teaching that blow others off course. If I were a televangelist, I might have told you this morning how prosperous 2018 will be for you if only you had enough faith. Since all your problems are directly related to the amount of faith you have, if you have lots and lots of faith, then your bank balance will overflow. You will be worry-free. Your health will be better than ever. And all things will go well for you. That is what we call the prosperity gospel. Scripture makes no such promise, and I am no televangelist either. I believe, based on scripture and experience, that in this new year, life can be difficult at times. People will disappoint us. We will disappoint them. The flesh will get the upper hand many times. Satan will be relentless in his attack. Circumstances may go out of hand, and we may begin to wonder if life is going anywhere or producing anything of value. That is why we should be wonderfully encouraged by what Paul is saying here. But this encouragement is only for those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. But for those who have not put their trust in Jesus Christ, for those whom Jesus is not the Savior, people will be disappointed in them, and they will be disappointing people. The flesh will be having the upper hand. Satan will be relentless in his attack. Circumstances will be getting out of hand, and they will be hopeless under all the circumstances. But if you are a Christian, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, when all these things happen, then you will be wonderfully encouraged by what Paul is saying here. No matter how fragile and how directionless life may sometimes seem to you, if you are a Christian, you have been rooted in Jesus Christ. God has graciously rooted you in Jesus Christ. And God has graciously rooted in Jesus Christ's unchanging grace. Your hope is grounded on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When all other ground is like sinking sand, you can hope and stand because God has rooted you in Christ the solid rock. And this comfort is only, again I'm saying, it is only for those who have put the trust in Jesus Christ. This comfort is not there for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior. What about those times when so little spiritual progress is being made? When it feels like everything is immobile and unchangeable? That's when we again look back at Paul's word. Not only have we been rooted in Christ in the past, we are being built up in Christ even now, and it will continue in the new year as well. We may not always see it, or we may not always feel it, but Paul assures us that however invisible it may be, we are being built up in Christ. The building will be completed. Our souls will grow in conformity to Christ, and one day we will be like Him, or we shall see Him as He is. Paul goes on to say that we are also being established in the faith. In those difficult times, you can say God has formally pledged Himself to my growth in grace in His Son. He has sealed the document of ownership. I am His, and He is mine, and He will continue to conform and solidify me in the experience and knowledge of all that He has made known of Himself and His purposes for me in Christ. There is only one appropriate response to such breathtaking realities, and that is thanksgiving. No wonder Paul's final phrase in verse 7 reminds us of the importance of abounding in thanksgiving. 6 times in this short epistle, Paul emphasizes on thankfulness. As I mentioned earlier, this last phrase, abounding, is in the active voice, pointing to our responsibility to be thankful. Sometimes, abounding in grumbling may accurately describe our disposition. At least in my case, it is true. We grumble about the weather, we grumble about the traffic, and we grumble about the myriad of other things. None of this is constructive, and most importantly, they are sinful. In Romans 8:28, we read that God causes all things to work together for good. These things, that is, circumstances, do not work for our good themselves. But God directs the outcome of these circumstances for our good. God uses all these circumstances for our sanctification, and therefore let us, instead of grumbling, thank God for all those circumstances, though it may be difficult. Does it sound like a new resolution? Thankfulness takes our thoughts away from our accomplishments and ourselves as we grow and experience Christ. Not mere thankfulness. Paul reminds here that we are to be constantly overflowing, abounding in thanksgiving. Imagine a river overflowing its banks. There is just too much water to stay in the normal flow, and so it floods over the surrounding land. Not only the ordinary circumstances in life, but all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord should make our gratitude flood out onto those around us. Let this be our New Year resolution, if you don't have one. So with that, we will close this, and I will ask Abraham to follow me, but let us close this with a time of prayer. Our Father, as we have seen in this passage, we want Christ Jesus to be everything to us. We thank you for reminding us in this Lord's Day, the last day of this year, that you have rooted us in Christ Jesus our Lord, and you are building us and establishing us in the faith. Help us, Lord, to be overflowing with gratitude, and help us to lead a life which is consistent with and conforms to what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.